So, The Sweet. It's exciting.
It is exciting.
You guys have a new single out, which, by the way,
Oh, nice.
love. So, is that a Little Miracle? Is that a teaser for a larger album, or are you like in singles mode?
We're in singles mode, and you ultimately end up at a record, but we're going to be putting out a new single about every 6 to 8 weeks, pounding your faces in with new material.
You know, the thing that, and I don't know if this is like always a complex topic, but there's the Sweet and then there's Sweet. So there's always been, for some time now, there's been the two iterations out there. And what's been interesting is you both put out new music relatively at the same time.
Yeah,
But
right.
the track you put out, though, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I felt like it's even closer to really historically what the sound that you would associate with the Sweet. So it's really exciting to hear the song.
Yeah.
It's not saying the other one's not exciting. It was cool too, but I do feel like y'all's single is very close to the what you would expect. Is that kind of how you feel?
Exactly.
Thank you so
Thank you. It's a 21st century suite. That's the way we wanted to come out right out of the gates, and we really wanted to pick Sweet, thinking in the future. I know Steve Priest, where his head was at, he had no limits with Sweet. If it was a, hey, let's bring horns on, that's what was so amazing about the original Sweet. And so that we felt like we were going with something that was going to be very modern, how we could depict it in the future, the brand and the band. So the response is just amazing. We're so excited about it, and thank you for that.
Yeah, there's actually a couple topics on this one. So one, love the sound. I'm actually working on several stuff right now in terms of creating content and commentary around power pop, even a resurgence in power pop sound, because there's a number of bands out there that I feel like, okay, they're kind of bringing this back, or at least that's my hope. But then there's also the topic, and I love this because about, let's heard me tell the story, probably 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, I found that my entire mindset towards bands that you would either want to call a classic band or a legacy band changed completely. I mean, I'll admit for a long time, I was of the mindset that, the band that you associate with is the band that you generally, you have your memories attached to those songs. But a variety of things caused me to start really rethinking the entire logic. And I've really not only latched onto, I support the idea that there are bands that, should they choose to, should be allowed to continue on as long as they want to, that represents a sound, a style. And I think where you're all at right now is a great example of that, keeping the torch going.
Well, thanks. If it hadn't been for Steve's wishes, we wouldn't be doing it. You know what I mean? It's a fight to take on for sure. We get a lot of backlash, you know what I mean? And you probably don't see a lot of that because all of that's taken care of in the background with our social media and everything else. But it was Steve's dying wish, so we're out here doing it for him. How can you sleep at night without fulfilling that request? And thank you so much for that compliment. We put our signature sound on that single that just came out. We've got more coming, heavier ones that are, I think, a little bit more sweet. So if you think that one sounds like Sweet, wait till you hear what we got coming next.
You talked about, I actually feel like I do have a good idea because back in April, I found myself in the crosshairs of Burton Cummings because I got behind the Guess Who's new music, which I do think is fabulous. And that turned into a 2 months worth of just very public drama back and forth, which was upsetting for me because I'm actually a longtime fan of the Guess Who, including Burton Cummings. But to wake up one day and find yourself in the crosshairs of a very public battle. And I stand by my argument that should a band want to continue on, let them.
Yeah, we hail Andy Scott. We all praise to Andy Scott. He's part of the legend. I mean, he is the legend that we are basically out here representing. It's just, Steve Priest left the UK and came to America and formed this version, and this is the version that he set sail with even after his death. So, we hail Andy Scott. We don't really know what he has to say. We would love to talk to him. It would be cool to collaborate, but it seems like he's announced that this is his last go. They just started putting out a record, and it's just a coincidence. We were so surprised. Blabbermouth popped up saying that they have an album coming out and they're doing their final farewell tour. And here we are on the, we literally, it was like, I think it was close to the same day we're supposed to put out a press release that our song's coming out. So there's been a little bit of a few punches thrown, but nothing directly. It's like, trying to keep our stuff on the Spotify playlist with all the rest of the great songs that Steve Priest created. And just basically, you know, without pushing our weight around, we're going to get this band to where it needs to be.
Historically, was there, I've heard people tell me there was like a line drawn and this group would be in Europe and this group would stay in America. Was it as cut and dry as that?
Well, not really. I basically, when Sweet broke up in 81, 82, after Steve fronted the band for a while, and then it just kind of fizzled because of what was happening in the early 80s. They all went their own directions, and then Andy picked up the gauntlet, and then he started doing his thing. And he put him and Mick Tucker, I believe, played together for a little bit. And so he kept it going with a bunch of other musicians. Steve wanted nothing to do with that lineup. And so I had a very successful career playing with everybody you can imagine. And Hurricane Katrina event. And when he heard me play, I was with Keith Emerson and Slash and Lukather. I had played with Bobby Kimball and Rick Derringer and all these different. But at this show, I played behind. And that's when Priest approached us and said, hey, you know, I'm going to come out of retirement. So the whole thing is two different suites. We went over to Europe and we played as SP Suite. And we played with Slade, with Steve Priest. And when we played the Gramercy in New York, did a lot of fans from overseas come and fly in to see us, this version. So, you know, he has his version. He hasn't really stepped into the U.S. Before we really formed in 2007, I understand that he played Canada a few times. We do a lot of Canada. Suite is very popular in Canada. We went to South America, opening for Journey in 2011, Boston, every band you could imagine. So when he approached me and Stevie Stewart, he basically said, hey, you guys want to be my partners. So it went way beyond just being a side guy for a band. We were Sweet, just like how they brought in the bass player for the Stones. These guys become, you become part of that entity. And we're just very proud to play the all the incredible music and also be part of the new, to bring all this new music, which fans are looking for. They want to hear new stuff.
Yep, I agree. You know, that's why Don and I, as an experiment back in May, I would rewind a little bit further back. So a couple of years ago, I was doing a social media post on Patti Smyth. And through the process and talking about Scandal, I ran across her album, It's About Time, and I was just blown away. I was like, oh my God, this album's so good. And then just out of curiosity, I was like, well, how many other bands are out there that you would associate with 70s, 80s that are putting out new music? And within like a weekend, I was actually able to almost like 80% rebuild a playlist of bands from like 1987 that were all mainstream at that time, but had all put out new music within the last, you know, 3-4 years. And so fast forward now a couple of years, and in May, you know, Don and I did an experiment. We put a playlist out there, digital radio playlist, playing predominantly new music from quote unquote classic bands, mixed in with emerging bands that have kind of a classic vibe. And what we have found is, yeah, there's a lot of support for the concept. So we've just taken off, ran with it. And now we have the radio channel. We've launched a video channel. We've built a nonprofit around it to really start focusing on the stories and this new music from these bands, these iconic names like you guys.
Awesome. Yeah. And if it does nothing more than just get some older guy somewhere to be like, well, that ain't Sweet. This is Sweet. And then he busts out the old catalog to some young kid, then we've done our job, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anything you want to jump in there? I know I've kind of hogged it.
No, I mean, this is great. I mean, I knew that you would have a lot to say. Especially with the stuff you've been doing and with Sirius. I would just say that for me, now, Richie, I know you're on the drums now, but, you know, knowing that Steve Priest was the bass player in Sweet during, I just wanted to share a story. This is a classic story. So
we're here.
When I was a little kid, I had a 45, and one of my favorite 45s was Fox on the Run. And I would play that over and over again. It was the one thing where I would either air guitar, air drum, air bass, right? It was funny because, you know, I'd be in my bedroom with it and like my brother and our friends, and we would all take parts playing to that song. And it's just so funny how one song over time stays with you, and that you guys get to play it, be a part of the history of it is just amazing to me. Because the Sweet, when you talk to bands from the 70s, like even modern punk bands that I've talked to in interviews, they will refer to the Sweet as one of their influences. We're talking punk bands. So it's funny that they get that melodic part to any of the punk from the Sweet. because the suite had that kind of balance between a punk and a power pop deal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just wanted to share that experience. There isn't really a question there. It was more just a commentary on the influence of this band that you're continuing the legacy. So going back to Dean's point and you guys, that's why it's important to me. I think keeping a legacy alive, demonstrating the music, even putting out things of members that were, as you said, Steve Priest blessed this. So then his spirit is with it. And if his spirit is with it, then it's a part of the deal.
Yeah.
Beautiful about it.
I just want to comment on that. And thank you for sharing that experience. You know, the family asked me to do the eulogy for Steve, and I was one of the last ones to see out of band members to see Steve alive. And it's just an amazing, after working with somebody for that long and knowing he was a man of few words, but boy, was he a rebel. And so that's where you get the punk. Okay. When you look at the culture club and you hear Boy George talk about it, where did he get his influence? He talks about Steve Priest because there was no limits to what Steve Priest, he wanted to say, you know, to everybody. He just had a full spirit. And I think that's where the punk comes in. And when you really got to know the guy, it doesn't matter at him at 70, 71, wearing these outfits and just really flying the flag of his rebelness, if that's a word. But, you know, so many great stories with Steve. He's just what a character. And I think one of the greatest things around Fox and the Run is Maureen, his beloved wife, asked me to represent at Guardians of the Galaxy 2 suite. So I went there and, you know, I'm doing at the Kodak Theater, I'm doing the red carpet and, you know, photos, and I'm going up and down, you know. And of course, if you get the Guardians of the Galaxy album, it's got ELO's first, then you got Fox and the Run. And so, you know, I'm sitting there by myself. I just went by myself. This is a good story. And so now the cast of Guardians of the Galaxy get ready to be now they could have used any song to come on stage at this live event. They come out to Fox and the Run. That's and amazing. Looking around, you know, it was such a moment for me to see all the stars that show, and just to also concur with your feelings of just what a well-crafted, amazing song.
Well, when we think about it too, is the technology in the beginning of it, the on the 45, that it was so different because you weren't hearing that either. I mean, adding those effects.
Right. They were so, I remember thumbing through my sister's record collection when I was a little kid, and that was my first introduction to rock and roll. And there was Tattoo You, and there was Highway to Hell, and there was the Supertramp record, and there was all these, you know, the Boston record, and you know, opening those and seeing what they were wearing, and then coming across Desolation Boulevard and listening to those songs. So I have the same experience, Don, listening to Fox on the Run and just being like, you know, it's more than music. It's so much more. Like, it hits you in a certain place. And I remember the whole family moved to a new place, and I woke up one morning to the first time I'd ever heard Queen, and it was coming from my brother's stereo, and he was cranking it and woke me up one morning, and I was like, oh, Sweet's got a new record. You know, here's some more Sweet. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is something else. But they're building on that. You know, I could even see it then as a child. I could see how bands were, you know, being inspired and building on what Sweet had already created.
Yeah. When you think about it, and plus when you get to the chorus of that song, the harmonies in it are unbelievable. Yeah. That's one of the things we've always talked about on the show was the importance of harmonies, and the harmonies in that are just incredible.
Yeah. You've got something that could impress a choir, you know, and then the next minute it's punk, 'cause he's screaming his ass off, 'cause he just wants to ruin it, you know, which just makes it better.
Well,
yeah.
It is the thing that we wax poetic on here, which is, you know, the observation, and I could be wrong on this, it felt like back in the 70s, up until that point, 60s, 70s, a characteristic of a really iconic rock band was a focus on vocal harmonies. You know, not just a lead singer with somebody singing harmony, but, you know, two, three harmony parts in there, three, four part harmony, high harmony. And then we get into the 80s, and it just seemed to be less common. You got Huey Lewis in the News, you got Def Leppard, Dokken. But then you move into the 90s, and it's like the harmonies just kind of went away in terms of their importance. So I'm always very eager, and I kind of perk up whenever I hear a band that brings back this concept of the vocals and the harmonies, right, playing a really important part. I mean, Sweet was always part of that.
Yeah. Well, most bands, it's like, okay, you play guitar, you play bass, you play drums, and I'll sing. And nobody thinks, oh, maybe I should be a little bit more patient and find a guy that can not only play guitar, but he can sing also, or one that can play keys, sing, and play bass at the same time. You know, bands don't get that cool where everybody in the band can sing and add that much vocal capability to a set. You know what I mean? And that's the cool part about our group is we've got tons of vocals going on stage to replicate exactly what they were doing. And we were coached to do it properly by the man himself, Steve Priest. So,
My hope is that as we see new music coming from these bands that understand that we'll have younger musicians go, hey man, that's cool. Let's bring that back into our music.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be.
Also,
bands emulate that vocally that you've heard in the last decade that have come out, or even bands that have put out a record in the last decade that even get close to something like that?
Well, this is what got me in trouble with Burton. If we think about bands that I would immediately, if you were to say, okay, Dean, what are bands that when you think of them, vocals, first thing come to mind, harmonies, deep harmonies. Yeah, the Guess Who had some great harmonies in there, but I've never once thought of them as a harmony band the same way I think of, say, the Eagles or Queen. And even on Sirius XM, to kind of test this, one day I asked the listeners, I said, hey, reach out. Let me know the first bands that come to mind. Not a single person said the Guess Who. So I did a post where I talked about how, you know, Derek Sharp and Gary Peterson, founding drummer, you know, the albums they put out were very rich with this Brit pop, you know, deep, rich harmony, Queen style sound. And my argument was, rather than you're going to bring this new lineup out, rather than trying to just imitate completely the old sound, because some people will, all you're doing is just imitating. They chose to come out and do something different, a very rich harmony sound. And I said, it's kind of exciting because if you go see them live right now, they're probably one of the best harmony bands to go see. Burton, oh my God, he hated that. He took like a 2-second snippet of my clip, retwisted the context and posted it to his followers. And I woke up one morning just being blown up.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, the Guess Who, their Plenty More album. That's something that excited me because of the harmonies.
I'll make a comment on the harmonies. We did a mix. And we listened to it and said, let's put that high vocal on with Dave Schultz went in the studio because Dave can sing. He's an amazing keyboard player who was with the Goo Goo Dolls. He plays with Berlin and Wang Chung and all this. But I know how much he loves playing the Sweet Shows. And he's part of the band. I mean, that's the bottom line. We paid him that. He came in with that high vocal. And I think Little Miracle really depicts beautifully that sweet sound and have it's crafted well. I'm glad you guys appreciate it.
Yeah, there's four of us singing lead vocal. It's no background vocals, you know, four of us singing lead vocals up there on stage every night and on the record too. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
That is so great.
Yeah, we're gonna include the song in post when we're putting this out.
Cool.
And on the radio too. I do want to also mention your tours, shows. You've got shows in Saskatchewan and Toronto coming up.
Yeah.
And it's a 23rd in Regina. Is it Regina?
Regina, yeah.
Well, Saskatchewan and Toronto, Ontario on the 24th.
The city. But anyways, yeah, we'll be there. Let me pull this up real quick. And the next day we'll be at Sophie Stadium in Toronto with BTO. Yeah.
Wow. Nice. And then you're in St. Charles, Illinois on the 6th. The Dells on the 7th in Wisconsin.
With April.
Sorry, Richie.
With April Wine.
April Wine.
They're doing the three dates with us: the Arcata, the Crystal Grand Music Theater in Wisconsin Dells, and Brown Music in Nashville, Indiana. Not Nashville. And the dates, and we'll be playing two California dates in Canyon Club. We're excited about that. And then the Phantom Music, the Unity Peace and Freedom Festival suite's going to be playing. Of course, with Missing Persons is on the date. We've got some incredible talent. You'll hear about that. And then we're playing in Warren, Michigan. The dates just keep on coming in. So people love the band live. That's where you get the real incredible traction. They come back. It's like it's a fun show, but we're serious rock, like Deep Purple meets Cheap Trick. So get ready to rock.
I love it.
It's all sweet. And those shows in Canada, we're playing with UB40 and Bachman Turner Overdrive. That's going to be pretty rad. I think they're 11,000 seaters sold out already.
That's great.
Yeah.
UB40 is an interesting little
reggae.
Yeah.
They had a new album out too a couple years ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then there's so the website is thesweetband.com to check out. Make sure you don't miss any tour dates. Little Miracle is the song that we're going to be featuring here during this interview. And again, like I said, you guys are part of a tremendous story with the Sweet, and you're keeping the story going, and that makes me happy. So thank you.
Yeah, we're proud of carrying the torch, man. It's really cool. An honor.
Well. You do it well. Trust me.
You do it very well.
Good.
Thank you, guys. Dean, anything else?
Just a big thank you. Really, thank you for coming here, and thank you for the music as well.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm in Florida, and Dean's in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Where in Florida?
Tampa.
Tampa, okay. And where in North Carolina?
Raleigh.
Okay. I'm in Asheville often, and I'm in St. often.
St. Pete?
St. Augustine. That's still far from Tampa, and Asheville's probably still far from you in North Carolina.
Asheville's not a bad drive. In fact, we're planning to go up to Asheville here within the next few weeks. So
we got to rile up some shows out there, huh?
Yeah, if you're in Asheville, I'll be there.
Now, when you're in St. Augustine, you're there to hang out or you're playing?
Yeah, I have a brother and a mom there.
You know what? You tell me when you're coming down. I love St. Augustine, so.
Okay, yeah. Well, you have my email?
Make Patrick sing when I'm there.
Come hang, man. It's a great hang. That's a great town.
I'll definitely email you. I don't have your email, but I can get it through Chip.
Okay, yeah, you can get it from Chip. Yeah. Yeah. Architect, can I send it to you right here? Let's see. I can direct message you on this thing, right?
We're on the Zoom.
I'll point out that the new Steve Priest shirt on sweetband.com is amazing, and really in tribute to Steve, we really wanted to put it together, and we just released it on thesweetband.com. And of course, streaming is going through the roof right now with on all the platforms. With a Little Miracle. So I'm glad you're going to play that for your fan base there.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah. One more band before you took off. You asked me another band that seems like they put a focus on harmonies. We had The Effect on here, Trev Lukather, Steve's son.
Yeah.
Matt, and we had a long talk with him and Nick, and they talked a lot about the importance of the harmonies as well.
Yeah. That's Phil Collins' kid on the drums, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw them at the Bourbon Room with my buddy Matt Pinfield. Those guys are something else, man.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, cool. I emailed you guys in the chat there. I sent you guys my email.
Perfect.
Need it.
Let me make sure I get it here before we go. There it is. Got it. I'm going to copy it right now.
Yeah. Let's hang out. Let's do stuff.
Richie's like, I'm not giving you my email. I'll tell you that right now. No, but I thank you, man. I will have it, and I'll message you. I won't spam you.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Rock alive. Let's rock, guys.
That's it. That's our whole mission.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye.